From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or when needed for commentary. I'm Badawun Kosokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrican.com.
A friend of iAfrican.com, Professor Fokosi, thank you so much for joining us yet again.
Yeah, well, thanks.
Our last conversation was really nice.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. But I think it's more thank you guys for joining us in Ghana. Something else to bring people to show them what we talk about.
Like, I mean, last time when we spoke, you were telling us about deep learning, and I'm experiencing it.
Yeah.
Yesterday, during, you know, corridor conversations, you were saying how when it started in 2017, it was just the 8 of you that were running around.
Yeah.
Now there's 50, over 50 volunteers.
Yeah.
Walk me through that. Like, what were you doing? What were you not doing? Like, how was that experience?
Oh, yeah, it was, you had to know everything. Uh-huh. I remember, I think one of the things was processing all the applicants through spreadsheets. Right? And this is a very important thing because it's like you keep track of spreadsheets to say, okay, fine. We have like 700 people who've applied.
Uh-huh.
We can only accept 330. Uh-huh. Who are they? So all that had to be processed through this thing. You're doing everything kind of by hand. Right? And then now you fast forward to 2023. The volunteer team has built up Boabab, which is the system. Yeah, which is a custom conference management system that was actually built by the community.
Oh, was it built by the community?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So Boabab is directly a product from Indaba.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So it manages people applying once they've applied, getting them their letters. During those days, we had to be signing, either digitally signing every letter of invitation for visas and all those things. Now you have a system that can assist in doing that. Okay. We just do that. Now there had to be indemnity forms. It's not now people coming to the thing and signing by. Yeah. Yes. So it seems like, yeah. It's like, wow, all these things are available now, but then it used to be kind of everything you had to do. You had to figure out if things needed to be printed, somebody has to, you have to pick them up as one of you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And making sure that, on one, people are comfortable. The big thing about the Indaba is to make everyone feel that they can be part of the African AI story.
Uh-huh.
It is not a thing that's reserved for people with a specific background, with a specific lineage almost in there. It's you come here and then you make it what you will, right? And then we hope that maybe also through the coverage of iAfrican, people will get to see that.
100%.
That people are, it's not people telling my story, it's people telling their journey up to here, where they think they're going when it comes to AI, and some of the exciting things that they're seeing or they're really very passionate about going forward.
I mean, having started with deep learning in Daba 2017, now you're on, you're a trustee. In terms of the function of the board of trustee, what do you do now? So your relationship with deep learning in Daba, from an organizing or maybe strategy or strategic functions, what do you do?
Yeah, so as a trustee, we look after the organization itself in terms of a functioning administrative entity.
Uh-huh.
So there's three of us at the moment, myself, Ulrich, and Shakir.
Uh-huh.
And we look after the strategic goals on there. So parts of it is you become an AI politician. So you have to think about...
I like that.
Yeah, how you think about now.
Yeah.
You've got this organization that has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned over the last 2 years or so of thinking about like what got us here is not necessarily what will get us to the next place. So we need to then be thinking about those things, and that's our job. So we're less in operations on what's going on here, even though you might find with some of us, there's things, the roles we've taken, but we no longer have a view of the whole operation.
Yes, sir.
Right, so all it is that you've got people like Avishka, like Amal, like Dalal. They're the ones who know literally where everything kind of is because they're the program chairs for this. We get to then think about, okay, what are still the challenges that the AI community faces?
Mm-hmm.
And does the deep learning in Daba have a responsibility towards tackling some of those issues? And then what needs to be done to do that? And that might then feed back into the operations to say, at the Indaba, we must add this. So, for example, just in this year, I'm helping out in the publications track, okay, specifically with the short paper, okay, sessions. In the past, we just used to have a poster session. People come along, you will see from tomorrow, mm-hmm, they do posters, amazing work that's, mm-hmm, being done across the continent. It helps people to, one, be able to share their work, mm-hmm, get feedback from others, mm-hmm, at the Indaba. And then for some, it might be the first time they have somebody who actually has deep AI knowledge giving them feedback.
Giving them feedback.
Because they might be at a university, wherever 100%. They are on the continent, but even their supervisors are not really
not
experts.
Not as knowledgeable.
As on that. So they're getting the feedback. They're seeing their peers, mm-hmm, doing the same things. They then start to have that confidence.
100%.
That I can also be at top flight. And that's the most kind of important thing. But we then identify the need of saying, you then want to have a proceedings outside just the posters, mm-hmm, but people have written their cutting-edge work, mm, and then shared it with the world, and it gets peer-reviewed, mm, by other people. So this year, we're testing out a non-archival, meaning that people have submitted papers. We had, mm-hmm, over 80 submissions. Mm-hmm. We called for reviewers. People have reviewed the papers, mm-hmm, given the feedback. Mm-hmm. And what's happening over the next 2 weeks is that those participants would then look at the reviews, fix the papers, mm-hmm, on there, and then we're hoping in probably about a month or so, mm-hmm, they will then be released for people to read.
Beautiful.
Our first non-archival, mm-hmm, proceedings. And this is because we're stepping towards the conference being a fully-fledged, mm, research conference, research where it also has research papers that are, published and becoming one of the top venues in the world.
Amazing, amazing. Yeah. Now, Prof, you know, Deep Learning Daba started as friends in the sector, in the profession, coming together, wanting to really create a hub and a community for Africans. You know, then it went for, because I'm speaking now from a strategic point of view, then it went for profit, and now I'm hearing you want to sort of organize it through an NGO, yeah, to focus more on skills and sort of, you know, research and development. Walk us through that transition. Why are you transitioning in terms of organizing the deep learning Indaba in those phases?
Ultimately, the Indaba itself exists for the community that's within here. So you have to then identify the right vehicle to be able to do that. People don't sometimes have a full understanding of what it means to move a conference across the continent, right? And we promise that we will do it, right?
It's a Pan-African Institute.
Yeah, like so we want to become a Pan-African organization. And to do it, it means that you go around the African continent. You don't just stay in South Africa and say you're an African thing just because you're comfortable. Right. And so you then have to figure out what is the best way to incorporate, and then where do you start, where do you change, and then how to the point where you can deliver your mission in the best way. So you might have started in one space. In the early days, what we would do is partner with, typically academic conferences, you partner with a university. Mm-hmm. The university is the one that receives the money and then 100%. Pays out the service providers and all those
100%.
Things. But then we have things like Indaba X's, the smaller workshops that happen in countries all over, all over the continent. Now, how do you make sure they get them? And are you now asking the university to say, make these payments, like, you know, randomly across the year? That then becomes like, no, that's not what they, it's not their business to really be doing that. So then you have to then say, okay, fine, let's now incorporate more as a non-for-profit, before we become a charity, of saying we're still doing this. Our goal is not to make profit. We're being custodians of this community, and we're making sure on the programs that we have committed to do, we run them, and then they get resourced in whichever way. And then that gives sponsors and investors in whichever way. I don't think really sponsors, I mean, they're really investing in the community, a vehicle that allows them to also have a feeling of, okay, we know that you're going to handle things in the correct way.
In the correct manner.
And then now you also then have to think, because we're doing something for a public benefit, ultimately you then want to make sure that people who can provide resources to something like a charity are given that opportunity. Right, so you try. That means you have to have. You can see now a long-term,
100%
administrative runway. 100%. Right, you can't just think of, oh, because we're here, we'll just keep it this way. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have allowed us to have these type of flexibilities. Now we can be in a country, move people here, work with a local organizing committee that deals with what's happening on here, but be able to work with another entity that might be another African country that says, oh, we can help you make sure that all the flights of all the people who are sponsored, especially students. are being sorted. Sorted and all those things. So that is why you evolve and instead of staying on there. And yeah, we're not a homogeneous continent. Countries are different.
It's very different.
Yeah, and you need to then, because of that, every year we're learning new new hiccups here and there about how things are handled. But I think we've been able to weather those storms much better by evolving the organization. And at the beginning, you were just beholden to whoever then was the place that you would have your next event. But now, because you've got that, it also gives the local organizing committees, the programming chairs, and all those, just more confidence to stick with the thing that they're here to do, which is put together a program that touches on the science, touches on the industry, the startups, on the community support, as opposed to necessarily worrying about the administrative hurdles that are going on in there. Yeah.
Prof, your funders that fund the conference, why do you think they care about AI development and machine learning on the continent?
Like, I think one, you want to believe that at the end of the day, if we look at the ongoing current AI revolution and things like that, and it has been going on for a while. It is not just because of large language models or ChatGPT now. It's been going on for a while that you can see that lots of organizations, big companies, are using AI ultimately to add to their bottom line. If you look at the top 10 companies in the world right now,
100%.
Very much on so. The challenge we have is then having, you know, if you look at the African continent, you'll have people saying there's no people to do this work. You'll say that there's no infrastructure to do this work. And as such, we should just be people who receive whatever comes out of this revolution. Yeah, right. And then if you don't control it, there's going to be very limited economic benefit for us. And then also we won't be able to say, here I am, I'm Badaung. I live in this part of the continent. These are my values. And I would like any technology that comes into my community to represent me. That then becomes completely you're beholden to whoever controls these things. And if we then go backwards in time, to 2015, 2016, 2017, for a lot of us, this is what we're noticing, that you weren't seeing really much movement in the African private sector. You weren't seeing much in academia. You weren't seeing as much in government to go like, this is a place that other countries are making massive investments because they are worried
about control,
because it's becoming a geopolitical play. Right, it is no longer just simply it's some interesting research space. It's literally geopolitics now, right?
No, that, right?
You don't have a US banning
100%.
NVIDIA from selling to China for no reason.
100%.
Right, it's becoming a thing of if one country gets access to GPUs, it gives them a leg up because they have maybe another resource
100%.
That we don't have access to.
Yeah.
Right, so if you have to, then you try to block something else on the pipeline. So that now, fast forward to 2023, it's becoming much more apparent. But that's what we were seeing in 2017, and saying now, almost like you have to raise an army,
100%.
And you have to do that
through education.
One, it could be forced, or the other one, you build a community.
You build a community,
right? Educate. Then you get the community to have that belief in themselves that whatever the obstacle is, we'll get around it, right? And if we can't get around it, we'll have to go through and just topple it from there. And that's a big part. So I'm my thing is some of the sponsors, that's what they're looking at and seeing all this growth and seeing, actually it's possible. We are the people who can just add that fuel power, kind of this big one. The others, some could be they're looking at where is our next, right? You've had Europe, you've had Asia, you've had North America. Where then are you going next as an organization? Yeah. Where are you going to grow part of your companies and things like that?
Yeah. And Africa is the market.
Yeah, right. And that you then need it to be a space where you can get the developers, the engineers, the research scientists at the level of there. And once some of them come here for the first time and they see the quality, of saying, actually, people are here, they're doing the thing. Then do it there. You can actually do it on the continent as opposed to say, we're opening an office in Europe that also is Africa office. You're not then putting yourself in the context of actually what's going on the continent on there. And the latter part are then organizations that really are looking at the part of Africa as a young country.
Yes.
I tend to show the slide of the age pyramid.
And of
Africa, and it's like that.
Yes, 100%.
Right. 100%. And now you have to think about the coming generation.
Yes.
right, of saying, we don't want them to be going through what we had to go through to set this up. Do you want them to just be flat, right? 100%. And some of the organizations are coming in because they are seeing that.
100%.
For me, it's very fulfilling coming to a meeting like this, meeting people who will tell you, like, oh, in 2017, that was my first foray into AI.
Into AI.
Now I am X at company Y. 100%. I am now a PhD student. Oh, I finished 100%. My PhD and now I'm doing. And that shows that what we are doing here matters.
Matters.
Right. And beyond just, oh, it's a talk shop. We don't write on there. Yes, your brain will hurt in the sessions. Right. But that's the point.
Yes.
Right. That's the point of saying we're at the cutting edge and we're building on top of the cutting edge because we have a complete belief we can lead.
Prof, you know what? I just think you have coined the next motto theme for next year. What we do matters. I think that could actually be the next theme.
Yeah.
But Prof, on that note, what we do matters. You went to Tunisia, you went to Nairobi, we're in Ghana. As you're engaging with governments, do they understand what deep learning in Daba does matters? Do they really appreciate it? Do they really accept it? Are they reciprocating the same energy?
It's a very interesting question, aren't they? One argument I make is that DSI or DST in South Africa made an investment in the first in Daba. It was very small comparatively to maybe what our current running budgets are and things like that. But likely in the history of the DST, and I will stand to be corrected, this is likely one of the best ever investments they've made in terms of science and technology on the continent.
Because, I mean, we're in Ghana this year.
Yeah.
Right. And it started South Africa.
Yeah, it started in South Africa. It was like, you know, it was something where we said, we went to them and said, look, this is something that that we need. We were assisted at the current moment now. The person is the CEO of the NRF, but at that time he was the director of a unit in the CSIR. And we said, like, we need to do this.
Mm.
And we think having a few anchor people who allow you to open doors will allow us to do this. And then DST came on board. And that on one showed some foresight.
Mm-hmm.
Of saying, like, yeah, this is not the 100 million rand or whatever investment and things like that, but it's very important. And we were able then during those period also have them as active participants. You'll see in some of the early videos of them being there talking about the policy side of what AI will mean, mm-hmm. what data science will mean. The same thing and when we were in Stellenbosch,
mm-hmm.
They came over to Nairobi as mm-hmm. well and all those things. And this is continuing in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very different thing to also then convince people that meetings like this that are very scientific, mm-hmm. very technical and all those things are places for them to play within there. Because I think a lot of their experiences with what is tech in the past is typically with huge tech companies where mostly they have local sales offices.
100%.
Not technical.
So sort of like a procurement process.
Yeah, right. You go to the conference where they're just selling you for a few days. Well, here, hopefully you haven't felt like you're in a sales pitch.
It's more on what is actually going on. What is happening in the sector.
What are we doing?
What are the foundational principles?
Financial principles and kind of on there. So that's still something on there. But I think to note is that, for example, Deep Learning in Daba, Data Science Africa, UN Global Pulse, Data Science Nigeria, or the Data Science Network now, though Masakane, people within those communities or organizations have now been sitting, for example, on the AU panel that's writing the AI white paper for the continent. Right.
Massive.
So you don't sit and say, well, if people don't come here, we don't go there.
We don't go there, 100%. 100%.
Right. So we also go there and then we're sitting, we're interacting. Mm. Where we also, I say, we do the slow.
100%.
Right. Where you're now changing policy from, 100%. You have to be inside. You 100%. Can't
do it from outside.
Yeah, you can't do it from outside. Yeah. You then have to join the process of saying, hey, actually, this is what's going on. Are you going to come with us?
100%.
Right. And then let's also bring also our knowledge into these processes so that it can actually be something that's much better. Mm-hmm. And through that, you will see there might be sessions on talking about things like data policy on the continent,
mm-hmm.
Things like privacy, security, personal information rights. I think Nairobi was a part because they were going through their, in 2019, their changes in now their personal information.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we were there.
Cyber crimes.
We were there during that period, and it was part of the conversation. Yes, I think Prof. Bidenge Demo was there during that period, and partly representing what their AI and Bitcoin group had been working on nationally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, within those parts. So mm-hmm. we do hope we leave that those lasting legacies for the local communities to the countries that we go mm-hmm. to say these conversations can be way more nuanced. Mm-hmm. They don't need to be skimming on the surface. Mm-hmm. People have to really dive deep because you're making choices about the futures of the way that your countries are going to interact mm-hmm. with these technologies that are changing mm-hmm. the way that the world works. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that is something that's there, and you please do interact with some of the Ghanaians, and you will see that it will be very different. They will be representing very different parts
yes.
of Ghanaian tech community, and not just it's the AI research. It's not. Yeah,
it's much broader than
it's
that.
Much broader than that. Yeah,
Prof. In human years, deep learning in Daba is 5 years old.
Yeah. We're at seven.
7 years. It's 7 years.
No, yeah. So it's the conference. It's the fifth conference.
Oh, it's the fifth. Yeah,
yeah, okay. But during COVID, we did do other things.
Okay.
Yeah, we couldn't have a physical
okay.
conference.
Okay.
But there was starts of putting out challenges.
Okay.
I think now they even we're having a research awards.
Okay.
That are going to come along soon with Data Science Africa.
Okay.
It was a time to take a breath also at the same time yes. and say where have we been how are we going to go next. So it wasn't that it was dormant.
Okay.
Yeah. But then yes, this is the fifth
physical
conference.
But it's the 7 years.
The 7 years of the Indaba existing. Yeah.
So going into a decade, what do you envision? When it turns 10, what do you envision deep learning Daba to look like, feel like, smell like?
I think in my head I've been wrong the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah, so if we go...
It has its own life.
If you ask me, you say 2017, where are we going to be in 2023? I think most of the predictions would have been wrong, right? And then maybe that was the part of we weren't, even though we were ambitious... We were not ambitious enough.
Okay, I like
right,
that.
Because now the things that you see that you have a conference app that's built by the
Baobab system.
Built by the community. The sessions I see on the schedule, and you're like, wait, now we're discussing that as well. You know where we're doing this. The program chairs, the volunteers. I was just surprised for me. Landing at 2 a.m. in the morning
at the airport.
Kotoka Airport. And then there's volunteers welcoming me. And then you can have a conversation of like, oh, also getting to know what they're doing. Asking, oh, you yourself, how did you volunteer or how did you apply? Mm. I had a friend I met who told me about this place.
I mean,
and then I made sure that I had to be there because...
I mean, one of my volunteers that's been helping me very... Very, very wonderfully, is from Kenyatta University.
Yeah.
That's in, I think, the western part of Ghana.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I was about to say, you guys came all the way from the western part just to be, I was like, wow, that's amazing.
There was a bus that came from Nigeria.
Oh, you see what I'm saying?
There was a whole Indaba bus of just Indaba people. I found out, And I was like, oh, you guys went through Togo. And then I got Bruno, like, yeah, you did it. Yeah. And that's a part of, like, people in like really encapsulate that spirit of innovating our way forward.
100%.
So a challenge will show up, but we'll figure it out.
I like that.
Right? We put it out there to say, guys, this is the thing that we have an issue, right, with at the moment. It's not necessarily something that I can help with because I'm not a person from Ghana, I'm not from Nigeria. And then people there will go like, oh yeah, we're friends for the Indaba. Let's figure out who you need to interact with. And then let's come up with something that can actually at least assist people in getting these things done. So I don't think in that of saying tech, like, you know, what are we going to be at 10 years? I can put my personal predictions there,
But they're always
I hope are correct, but I think they might come down as being less ambitious than where they have to be. But we want to have officially our stamps on policy.
Okay.
We want more companies growing out of the African continent that are working on AI being on within those spaces. I want more faculty members here.
Okay.
I know it's a hard thing to say, hey, you have these things, people are thinking out, oh, when you do these things, you're thinking about Europe. We're saying, no,
it's here.
Right, that's been something of thing. And when I say faculty, is that we understand that it's a person being a professor, a lecturer on the continent is tough.
Mm.
There's very high teaching loads.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, it seems like being away for a week
during a
normal semester, that is a thing. But we're hoping that the ones who've been here go back and say, no, actually taking that time allows you to build bigger support networks.
100%. 100%.
Right, that allow you
disciplines that we don't necessarily have on our campus.
And then you get to actually interact with people who are on the continent also have the same challenges as you. And then again, you build in the innovation. You say, oh, and in my university, this is what we're going to try out next year. I think the keynote from this morning from Ayoko, talking about what they're doing at HSC is exactly that, of saying that it's not, there's no one size fits all, but 100%. You can learn from, like, you know, from what other people are doing to innovate within kind of your spaces, and that's where we are. And ultimately, like my personal one, I would like 51% of the funding to be coming from African organizations.
Okay, 100%, 100%. Let Africa fund its own program.
Yeah, I think I'm correct here. We're not going to have R&D funding coming increasing from the public sector
100%.
Or to governments on the continent. Yes. But the private sector is benefiting a lot from R&D.
100%.
They need to get into the game.
They need to also have
children. Yeah, it can't be that they're benefiting from R&D by waiting for the technology to come from the West.
They should say no.
From our profits that we're making here on the continent, parts of a percentage of that has to go towards R&D. Whether they form their own research labs in the organizations or they fund other research organizations or they fund universities and things like that, they have to come to the party.
And I mean, when you look at it in the long run, it all comes down to the same community.
I think my last part in thinking about the answer to that question is, we're hoping that more of the private sector across the continent is increasing the R&D spend, the ones especially, like, you know, every in general, but then AI as well, because we see that governments are very stretched, many, many things that they're dealing with at the 100%. Moment. So increasing their AI spend
it's not something that's
but the private sector does benefit from having AI. And they should be working more and more for it to be here and done here, because in general, they'll also be adding to the well-being of our citizens 100%. On the continent, because it's shown many, many more ways that the more R&D spend per capita increases anywhere in the world, the better the outcomes of the people who live in those 100%. Spaces and things like that. And we have to think about that in context of South Africa. I think we're at something like 0.8% of GDP per capita is spent on R&D. And this is only about 25% of what the US spends. Right? And this is from all sources. It's not just from the government, from private sector as well. And on the African continent, after that, South Africa, it's all down.
So we need this to be worked on.
100%. And this is where we can get our agency in terms of being able to control 100%. These technologies, but as well, literally control our destiny, right? As we were saying, last year's in Daba in Tunis was like, you know, our destiny on there, but we can actually control it. It's not something that is just a pie in the sky and we just say it, but hopefully by coming to places like the Indaba and supporting it, people can see that this is possible.
Prof. Okosie, what we do matters. What we do matters. I've officially coined it. That's the theme for next year. Prof. Okosie, thank you so much. And I'd like to just credit you. iAfrican being the official media partner is largely because of you. Your assistance on that aspect has been phenomenal. And to think, you know, we had our conversation, our first interview earlier on this year, and now we had the deep learning in Daba. And I mean, I think from our side, we'd really like to thank you for, you know, believing in us just in the same way that we believe in you. And we look forward to the partnership growing and maturing into something really nice.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on iAfrican.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Accra, Ghana, University of Ghana, the deep learning in Daba.
Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bites. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter at iAfrican. On LinkedIn at iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefo Mohapi Show, Take Legal Matters, and The Lead Creator, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iafrican.com. That is iafrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bites is an iAfrican Media original show, produced by Nzalo Mbangana and content producer and host by Don Kotokwane.